What's happening? Hour two, live and in person. We'll make it quick because Mike Vrabel's already at the podium, and we will hear from the Titans head coach right now.
Quickly and, you know, performed well in practice and in the opportunities in the game. So that's really all we ask of anybody that's coming in here new is just to pick it up as fast as you can and take advantage of every opportunity you get.
About trying to get some more targets for AJ and Julio the other day. I wonder if you could talk about kind of the balance between trying to get guys more targets and forcing balls.
Yeah, I mean, every play is, you know, got some first read options, some second read options, and, you know, so you try to design plays for guys that you think will be in good position. Sometimes that always doesn't work, and I think that's up to the quarterback to progress through and not to force it, you know, not just to throw it into a team meeting just for the sake of saying we're going to try to get this guy the football or, you know, so I think that's important now, you know, how the quarterback distributes the ball. I mean, he's in charge of the football, and he's got reads that take him to certain places on every play.
What did you think of the separation?
Follow up, John. just be louder than Paul when you follow
possible.
Up.
The one on Julio, the one that wound up being an interception. Is that an example of maybe trying to force it in to a situation there, or was that, you know, or a reasonable expectation of a catch there?
I mean, I think that we always expect guys that when it hits them in their hands, I mean, I think that whether there's in traffic or not, I mean, I think that, you know, Ryan's trying to progress through and went to the second window. You know, I mean, there's a lot of plays we'd like to have back. So, you know, hopefully this week when we get presented with the same situation, you know, we'll be able to execute.
What do you think of the separation and speed, and how much better can you be in those departments?
We can be better in every department. You know, I mean, if you're basing off, you know, Sunday's what we did Sunday, I would say that we can be better in every category that you could mention, whether it's speed, pass rush, running a football, blocking, tackling. That's just what it's going to be.
When you're in that situation where there's a lot of things that need correcting, how do you decide sort of what to emphasize, and is it possible to overwhelm? I mean, I'm sure you're not standing in a meeting with 30 different points of emphasis.
No, I mean, I think the emphasis is what we feel like is going to be important this week, being able to get going here on Seattle, their schemes, their personnel, our game plan, handling the atmosphere, the weather, the environment, everything that goes into traveling out there and playing. So, you know, certainly don't want to overwhelm anybody. And, you know, we talked about, you know, trying to be precise and not be perfect. You know, you're never going to be perfect, but, you know, precise is pretty darn good. And, you know, that's understanding what you're supposed to be doing, moving with a great speed, understanding what the concepts are, but, you know, not living in this world of being perfect, that if this happens and that happens, and it just, you can't play the game like that.
Was made
some losses in the past that you guys have bounced back from really well. And this seems to set up like a situation like, I mean, what goes on in that locker room after a loss maybe like that, where they're let down, it's a season opener, and you've got a big test here coming up?
I mean, the process is, you know, I mean, obviously everybody's disappointed after you lose. I mean, we've moved on. You know, you have to. And so the full emphasis is about Seattle and changing our mindset to them, which I think we have. I know we have. Having watched tape and visited with the players already today, and their meetings and what we're going to be able to go do on the practice field is about having a great practice. You know, start stringing plays together. If it's not a play you like, then we got to move on and, you know, keep going, make the corrections after practice, and then, you know, come back and start to add in some of the situational stuff with third down and in the red zone and get ready to travel.
A lot was made about your comments, your response when asked about Julio Jones' penalty. I know you've used that phrase before, but was that sending a message or was
no,
it just
I don't,
guys, simply
I,
a response?
I don't think I've ever said anything in front of you guys or these cameras or this microphone that I haven't said to the players. I mean, I hope not. Like, that's never my intent. They've heard it, you know, from me well before I've come out here. So, and that just happened to be that specific play. And it could be somebody else the next time. I mean, we're just trying to coach, you know, the actions and not the result. You know, sometimes that doesn't get flagged, right? But the next time it will. Or, you know, maybe there's a holding. or a block in the back that doesn't get called. Well, we're still going to coach it. And we're going to coach it whether it gets called or not. So we're trying to focus on the actions and maybe not the results.
Is it a sign, you think, of depth on your team or the fact that the rookies haven't developed as well as you'd like, that you didn't get much participation from the rookies earlier?
I think that all depends. You know, I see both sides of it. You know, preparation throughout the week, the competition through the week, the emphasis on special teams, and there's a lot that goes into it. We would like to try to continue to get those guys going as much as we can. I am in full agreement, you know, with that, and that's something that, you know, we'll have to continue to do and emphasize the reps that they do get on the show team, you know, are critical for the evaluation and for their development.
What kind of a problem does DK Metcalf present?
Well, I mean, there's just a size and strength and speed element that he has, you know. And so, you know, you've got, you know, a big man that runs fast, that's strong, and you know, I think if you get off balance, he's got the ability to knock you by and use his strength, and then also, you know, some of his run after the catch. You know, so there's a lot of problems, you know, a lot of issues. And, you know, Lockett is obviously so in tune with the quarterback and their ability to hit plays down the field routinely over and over. I mean, every game it seems like, you know, there's an amazing catch in the end zone or down the field or close to the sidelines that's, you know, really, really impressive.
What can Bud build on out of that? What do you expect from him next?
We go through these expectations, and it's the same for every player. Prepare throughout the week. Get your body as ready to play as you possibly can, and go out. Know what to do. Play fast and aggressive. Impact the game. Try to, you know, follow the keys. Try to execute the keys, and try to help the team win. That would be the expectation for every player.
But you mentioned like against Randy Bullock, and how much you're hoping he just does a job. You don't have to worry about kicking.
Every time we go out there to kick, I hope they do their job, Jim, no matter who it is, whether it's Brett Kern, whether it's Randy, or the 53 other kickers that we've had here in the 3 years that I've been here.
You mentioned Carson the other day. Just what impresses you the most as a running back?
Runs hard. You know, runs hard, runs violent. Runs behind his pads, got a good stiff arm. You saw him break a 3rd-and-1, you know, and stiff arm for another, you know, 15 extra yards. So catches the ball well. They work him in the screen game. They work him out of the backfield. He's in there on third down. So, you know, he's done a really good job for him. And, you know, that's, I mean, he's a challenge like there is every week. And this week it's him.
What happened with Ficken? Do you feel like you need somebody behind Randy now?
Yeah, we're continuing to evaluate that, but yeah, I mean, I think that's always something that we're talking about and discussing, having the ability to carry somebody in the case of an emergency, in case of, you know, obviously we're still dealing with COVID and testing and those types of things. So we'll continue to look at that. Thank you.
Go. And is he still, I mean, I know he was hurt at the time, but is he?
Tucker's not on our team right now, so I don't know. I wouldn't want to comment on Tucker or players that aren't on our team. You know, I think that, you know, that wouldn't be for me to answer. Thanks, guys.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel and the 53 other kickers that they've had since he's been in Nashville.
He is so fed up.
Which, I mean, everybody is. But, like, at a certain point, you know, Randy Bullock's their 11th damn kicker since 2019.
Oh, I can't imagine the frustration, because that's the position he has the least control over. That's the position he can impact the least as a coach.
It is unbelievable the amount of bad luck, because it's probably, you know, they've botched the main event, right? They're going to continue to get blamed for the kicking situation, because of how poorly Ryan Succop was handled there, the way they brought him back too early, and then they put him on IR again, then they release him, he gets healthy, and now he's a Super Bowl champion. So, like, they're going to get crushed for that because of how all of this started with the botching of Ryan Succop's situation. But if you want to weigh in from anything on anything that you just heard from the head coach, the number is 615-737-1045. Mike Vrabel talking about the rookies, two in particular that were inactive, Dylan Radins and Rashad Weaver, that we had many questions about, and what's happening with the kicking situation. Every time we go out there to kick, I hope they do their job, whether it's Brett, he's talking about Kern, Randy, he means Bullock, or the 53 other kickers we've had since I've been here. Mike Vrabel, unbelievable. All right, we will come back. We'll do, why don't we do the dumbest thing in sports this week? Let's do that. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. So Ryan Tannehill's at the podium right now, talking about the Seattle defense, things of that nature. Lucas will keep a close eye on the situation. If he says anything, no, inflammatory, or if he does what his head coach did yesterday, as First Take alleged, and slams Julio Jones. So stupid. Now, Blaine Bishop and I got into it, not into an argument about this, but into a discussion about Mike Vrabel saying, don't do dumb bleep that hurts the team at a press conference. And by the way, speaking of dumb bleep, it's time for the dumbest thing in sports this week. 615-737-1045. Load them up if you've got a nominee. There's plenty to feast off a ridiculous weekend of college and NFL football. 615-737-1045 is how you let us know who the dumbest thing or what the dumbest thing in sports was this week. But when Blaine Bishop and I are having this discussion, because I told Blaine, yeah, we had to dump out of the press conference because Mike cussed. And Blaine gets into this situation about, or gets into this conversation about, well, he should be held to a higher standard. Why don't you hold Mike Vrabel to a higher standard? He shouldn't be allowed to cuss at the podium. And my position was, well, I don't, you know, it doesn't bother me. Like, I don't care. Like, Mike, you know, Mike doesn't, I don't necessarily know that Mike thinks he's on terrestrial radio while he's giving a press conference. I think he's just talking to the assembled media. I don't think that's that big of a deal. Now, what Blaine told me is that Jeff Fisher never cussed and didn't really cuss on the practice field, which I can't imagine a football coach not cursing profusely on a practice field. But, you know, maybe that's because Mike Vrabel's been my experience. So,
I mean, I would hate it if it was every other word because it would make my life miserable. But it doesn't bother me. You know, I think that gives it a little more meaning.
I mean, you want, and what he said there today, because Teron rightly asked him, hey, you know, I don't know if Mike Vrabel's watching First Take, but it was everywhere, right? It was all across the sports networks yesterday, and because Julio Jones is a big enough name that he attracts that kind of attention, that's where it spun out of control, 615-737-1045. But ultimately, I looked at that and said, yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with it. Now, Blaine comes from a different time of NFL and the NFL coaches and the way that they conduct their business. And maybe perhaps to him, that's not acceptable. In fact, I know it's not acceptable to Blaine because that's what he said. But I don't know that that I'm going to sit there in a press conference, hear Mike Vrabel say any of the curse words and be like, hey, now, Mike, they're children listening. Like,
think of the children.
Think of the children. Because every time somebody says that to me about the radio show, because, you know, every once in a while I tend to use a bit more profanity than your average midday radio host might, perhaps. Because I get DMs on, like, Facebook, right? from people who are of an older generation. Facebook is the primary communication. That's fine. And every once in a while I'll say, you know, I just wish you wouldn't curse so much. just wish you wouldn't curse so much. And on the one hand, I want to be respectful of that because, you know, I don't know who's listening. And on the other hand, more realistically, I'm thinking, well, it's not my job to raise your children. You do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not my thing. So that's kind of the way I look at Mike Vrabel. Anyway, let's do the dumbest thing in sports this week. You ready?
This week that made you say,
what the f*** is this?
That's bullshit.
What the hell? Give me some warning.
Something so mind-numbingly idiotic that you just want to get it off your chest.
Dumber than a second coat of paint.
Some idiot.
You are really dumb. For real.
It's the dumbest thing in sports this week on the Buck Rising Show.
615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? Lucas, you want to start the betting? You ready to go?
Sure.
Go ahead.
As you know, I was on the call last night for what was a really fun game. Anytime Belmont and Lipscomb play in any sport, doesn't matter, the court, the field, whatever, always really fun to watch the Battle of the Boulevard. But I was broadcasting Lipscomb and Belmont men's soccer in the Battle of the Boulevard. It ended in a 1-1 draw. My dumbest thing in sports this week are college soccer rules. And I know this doesn't appeal to most people out there that aren't soccer heads like me, but I don't know any other sport that changes up the rules more for college level than soccer in America. And I don't understand it. At the very death of that game, 90 minutes, it's 1-1 game. They have two 10-minute periods of overtime. And if it's a draw at the end, if it's still tied, they just end in a draw. But the clock counts down in college soccer, other than every other level of soccer where the clock counts up. There's stoppage time added for time made up for injuries and stoppages and whatever, so that they can let plays develop at the end. And there's not a hard zero stop, because soccer is a very fluid sport. And when there's stoppage time given, if 93 minutes of stoppage time are given and you're in the 93rd minute and it's at the end and a team is on the attack and they're in the box, you're not going to cut the game dead with the team about to score. You're going to let them finish the scoring chance and then you call the game dead. But the clock counts down. Lipscomb at the end scores when zero, like at the moment the clock hits zero, Lipscomb scores. They're celebrating. It's crazy. And the referee says no goal. Time ran out. Players scream out on the field. There's some pushing and shoving going on. But my dumbest thing in sports this week are college soccer rules for clocks counting down rather than up, and for the unlimited subs, which drives broadcasters insane because they're going in and out like freaking hockey players. And I just don't understand why we have to do it our way with college soccer in America and change basically all the fundamental rules of the sport. That's my dumbest thing in sports.
In the time that it took you to start that rant, I got three DMs on Instagram saying, boo Lucas, boo soccer.
Yes.
Now be honest with me, all right? Did you set all of that up just so you could play the call of your call on this game last night?
No, I did not. I did not have that intention.
You didn't. Do you even have it?
I can grab it, but I did not have that intention.
Okay, because that would have been a very me move, and I could not have been more proud of you if that was the route that you were going to go.
You know, I don't care if people hear the call or not. My dumbest thing in sports are just college soccer rules in general, and just changing up rules that fundamentally.
Yeah, that's
for one. I just don't get it. It just makes no sense to me. It's stupid. It changes the game, and it's my dumbest thing in sports this week.
615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? Casey, one of our favorites in Lewisburg, has a nominee. What's up, Casey?
What's up, Buck, man? So, I'm a Baltimore fan, so I was checking out the Monday night game over the last couple of days, and I would have to say the dumbest thing is the Raiders. I mean, they're hugging everybody, man. They're thinking they'll get the touchdown before it's even on the board. You got to know it's going to be reviewed, but obviously he was down at the one. Then your man throws a pick in the end zone, and now you got a chance to lose the game. So, I mean, I would have to go with the Raiders on that. How y'all doing, man? I haven't talked to y'all in a while.
We're doing great, Casey. I appreciate the call. It's good to hear from you, buddy. 615-737-1045. Yeah, how the Ravens and the Raiders game, they thought it ended. Because Peyton Manning, I'm watching the Manning broadcast, and he's like, oh, they're not really going to bring everybody back out on the field because he wants the offense to, you know, get the touchdown of the walk-off and not have it reviewed. I did find that element of it funny. And also, Alex Leatherwood, who they overdrafted out of Alabama, to false start. On first and goal, or what was it? First and goal? I can't remember.
It was right there on the. It might have been second and goal, but it was on the one.
They're on the one to false start, and then the next play have your quarterback throw an interception. Disaster. 615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? So I've gone back and forth on this a great deal because on the one hand. I looked at the Urban Meyer situation and said, you know, I think it's ridiculous what people are saying about Urban Meyer potentially going to USC after he's already 1 week in to the NFL. Now, Lucas, you said that he spoke to the media earlier today, and I believe if you could pull up his quote specifically, I don't know if you have the audio or if you just have the tweet. Either is fine. But what Urban Meyer had to say in response to the question from the reporter, I heard the question itself was questionable, but why don't we hear it for ourselves, courtesy of the Jacksonville press conference?
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it so that you can put it to bed.
No chance. I'm here committed to try to build an organization.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out.
All right, so that's the clip. Now, here's here's where I want to start with it, okay? Because the idea of it in principle, like we talked about earlier to start the show, when we were talking about James Franklin and what Dan Patrick was reporting, mutual interest between the former Vanderbilt, now Penn State head coach, and USC, we talked about how the idea of Urban Meyer being the one person who you could imagine doing something this ridiculous and this shady, he's a perfect candidate for it. Now, the idea itself is utterly ridiculous, and I don't think anybody is actually thinking that Urban Meyer is going to say that. What my dumbest thing in sports this week is the way that press conference question was just asked. Can we hear that again for the people, just in case they missed it?
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it so that I can put it to bed.
No chance.
All right, I don't care about that. Unfortunately for you, Urban, I'm so sorry, Urban. I apologize for having to ask you the question.
Yeah, that was weak.
That you can immediately refute it, Urban. I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm so sorry that you have to go through this, that your good name has been besmirched in such a way, as I'm watching him in his teal pullover right now on SportsCenter, arms folded, looking miserable, having to answer questions. God, it's only a matter of time before he starts clutching at his heart and this thing ends in a fireball. Like, it's so ridiculous. But, and I don't know who that reporter is. I have asked some bad questions in my lifetime, all right? I am not throwing stones from a glass house. I have been bad in press conferences myself many times, not just one. But that is some of the weakest bull bleep that I've ever heard. I'm so sorry to have to put you out, Coach Meyer, by asking you this question. Here, allow me to offer you the opportunity to refute these nasty rumors and allegations that are swirling around you. That's the dumbest thing in sports this week.
I will push back on you that you've kind of said that there's no basis with the Urban Meyer stuff, and there's not. There's absolutely not. But how many times have we seen Urban Meyer lie through his teeth at a press conference?
Oh, plenty.
Like you're not going to be actually surprised, right, if you were to just bail 2 weeks from now for the USC job.
No, like I'm saying, he's the most believable person that you could find to be in this particular situation.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, like, there is no legitimate reporting right now that Urban Meyer is seriously considering the USC job, right?
Yeah,
it's all just fun at his expense.
Well, it was that Reddit account that's verified, Reddit College Football on Twitter, saying sources, Urban Meyer is considering because his heart's not in it in Jacksonville. But I couldn't tell if that was serious or
buddy,
not.
Buddy, you go ahead and get your reporting from Reddit.
Yeah, I know. I'll hold back on that.
You'd be like one of these fringe individuals that gets their news off TikTok.
But let's just remember Nick Saban back in 2007. Like, I'm not going to Alabama, all right? You can quit asking me about it.
Both the quarterbacks are great, so quit asking. Poor Maria Taylor. Actually, a great moment by Maria Taylor. Anyway, what's the dumbest thing at sports this week? Cameron is in Lebanon. He wants to weigh in. What's up, Cameron?
Hey, am I allowed to say the entire university of Tennessee football team?
You like, sure?
Is that a valid statement?
You may, but you have to explain yourself, of course.
I mean, just going in with some expectation of, I will not say greatness, I will not even say any sort of standard, but just the glimmer of hope that we all have. And go in and just, I mean, you know, Joe Milton, the greatness that could be there, overthrowing everything by at least 10 yards. And then having to come out of the game. I mean, just it's really just hopeless at this point. So, I don't know. We could just be so much better, and we never will be.
Cameron says, shoot it all into the sun. Kill it with fire. I love that. 6-1-5-7. I don't love that because she sounds very sad.
Fed up.
Like, I know it's not even angry anymore. It's just spitting. It was like Lucas yesterday. Lucas on the phone today, too. What is wrong with you lately? Two games in and you're already ruined your college football season?
What'd I do on the phone today?
I forget what we were talking. So your friend had some kind of reporting about the University of Tennessee that we were talking about?
Oh, it was my guy Dan Harrelson of Vols Wire. Joel Klatt mentioned that Tennessee, Vol Twitter was blowing up about it. Joel Klatt mentioned that Lincoln Riley could be a good fit and a target for the USC job. And Dan Harrelson had somebody on his podcast, Tennessee Two-A-Days, back in the summer that he was talking about, you know, if the Oklahoma job were to ever open, would they target Josh Heupel? Yeah. And Vol Twitter kind of took and ran with it. Wasn't any kind of concrete report because I haven't seen Lincoln Riley.
No, but what did you do? You said you were rooting for it at this point.
Oh, no, I'm not rooting for it. I'm just saying at this point, this is just how it is. This is the world we live in.
You're two games into your season. You cannot live this way. And also, that should be considered a fine for you. If my thing is this is the place that we find ourselves in, then yours is this is the world that we live in.
Okay, that's fair, but that's all the right. First time I've ever said that.
That's not true at all. 615-737-1045. We also go to the tweets because the people are chiming in voraciously on social media. What are they saying?
Bucket says, Buda Baker putting Luan in his place. No way that should ever happen with ever in all caps.
Yeah, so I asked around about what happened because I'm no expert on offensive line play, and we'll talk about Taylor Luan specifically before Will Compton joins us at 12:20 of Bussin' with the Boys for our weekly installment. So I watched that play back, and I sent it around to a couple people to help explain to me what exactly I was watching, because how the hell does 185 or 95-pound safety just topple a 300-pound offensive tackle? And so you watch it back, and the analysis that I was sent was that Taylor Lewan looks like he's preparing for Buda Baker to go outside of him around the edge. Instead, Buda Baker goes inside, pushes right into Taylor Lewan's chest. He overcorrects. He loses balance. He falls over. The optics are horrific. Really, really bad.
Blake Tucker says, I'm the dumbest thing in sports this week, for believing the Titans hype. Matt says the Titans coaching staff, we should have seen these coming.
Look at a bunch of masochists. Look at them.
Right. Brian does say the overreactions of a week one loss. And Big Vitamins guy on Twitter says Andy Dalton starting football games when Justin Fields is on the same team.
Is Big Vitamins guy the guy who called in and alleged that Chandler Jones was on PEDs? Is he trying to sell him something?
I don't know, but he's had a rough go of it. His Twitter bio says, bear down and go Vols. So Bears and Vols fan. Oh,
no. What would be the worst possible combination of pro team fandom
Ooh.
And college team fandom?
That's a good summer topic. Yeah.
What are we already?
Need to bookmark that one.
We're already in June. All right, I'll put it in my notes.
Daniel Ball says, Jim Wyatt doing a, quote, wardrobe check instead of a britches report. I don't know what you're talking about, Daniel. We got a britches report today.
What?
We got a britches report today.
No, Jimmy didn't do that. I saw the britches report. Yeah. I retweeted the britches report.
We got the britches report like we always do.
Yeah, but he teased it in three parts. And I said in the green room this morning, because, you know, Wyatt puts out the britches report, which is the uniform report for what the team is going to wear, if you're unfamiliar. And if you are, I don't know how. That's humanly possible at this point. But, it is a wardrobe. It says wardrobe check.
Oh, he didn't put britches report in britches, when he actually reported it?
Wardrobe check with the little siren emojis. The Titans will be decked out in all white jerseys, britches, and socks in Sunday's game versus the Seahawks, hashtag britches report.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
so
fine.
It's in there, but it's not the lead. You're right. I'm offended by that.
So many people get excited for that. It's such a bright spot on the timeline every week.
It's just the only thing that's pure left in our lives.
At least right now after Sunday.
What's the uniform that the team is going to wear? Now, I said, because Wyatt put out, this was a three-part britches report, which made me laugh this morning. Jimmy put this out this morning. First, it's about that time, Titans, hashtag britches report with a pants emoji. Love that Jimmy's a big fan of the emojis. Then he says, I have a feeling this combo, in a separate tweet, he says, I have a feeling this combo will be well received, .. hashtag britches report. So he's teasing something. So in my heart, I'm like, oh, God, no. I'm thinking in my head, they can't do the Oilers throwbacks yet, can they? That's not been officially approved by the league this year. They can't do that. Because the worst possible case scenario is somebody in the Titans business office thinking, you know what'll fix what that atrocity on the field was on Sunday? If we send them out to Seattle,
roll them out
with the damn Oilers throwbacks. just to have, because they wore that in a preseason game, right, and got stomped
years ago,
something like that, or they wore it in a game against New England.
It was Hall of Fame game. They wore it in a Hall of Fame game.
Okay.
Years ago, and there's like the greatest fake punt in NFL history.
I thought there was some kind of like curse associated with the Oilers throwback. 615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? But I was thinking to myself, please God, no, don't let them do this to themselves. I mean, you know, maybe a part of me, I won't lie to you, a part of me was rooting for it because that would be utter catastrophe, and catastrophe is good for me in the sports talk radio business. But Jesus, would that have been a bad situation? 615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? Sydney is in Nashville and wants to weigh in. What's up, Sid?
Buck, this is not Sidney, but this is Coach Bobby Petrino, formerly of the University of Louisville Cardinals.
Okay, Coach.
The Arkansas, the Atlanta Falcons, Arkansas Razorback, Western Kentucky University Hilltoppers, and University of Louisville Cardinals. And heck, I don't even know where I am today. But the dumbest thing in sports, Buck, is that you told everyone that Urban Meyer is shady. How dare you take that label away from me, my friend? How dare you? I am the most shadiest coach off, but I can tell you, I've never told a university president or an NFL team owner that I'm going somewhere and then the next week I'm gone. I can tell you that. That doesn't make me shady. That's Urban right. Meyer may be the shadiest, but I take that. I have never lied to the state police. I've never cheated on my wife. And, Buck, I'll tell you, the media and fans may have labeled me the most honest head football coach ever in at least the 2000 era. That's the dumbest thing in sports that you've ever said, Buck, about Urban Meyer. He's a good man. He might help health problems before it's all over with. Buck, I appreciate the show. Love you guys. You all have a great day.
Rack 'em. Thank you, fake Bobby Petrino. I hope that fake Bobby Petrino calls us more regularly. That would make me very happy. If we just start having imitation coaches and people in sports that become sports talk radio callers, would delight me. We'll come back and continue this conversation and begin. I want to take a look at the Titans secondary specifically because Imani Hooker got placed on IR yesterday, meaning that he is required to miss at least 3 weeks. It's a not ideal situation for the Tennessee Titans, but I have an idea as to who might fill into his starting role. I'll tell you who that is coming up next, and we'll take your calls as well. 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Back here, 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. So let's talk about what's happening in the secondary. Imani Hooker is on IR. How long he will stay there is yet to be determined, but we know that it's a minimum of 3 weeks. They can bring him back after that time period has passed. It may be longer, but it cannot be shorter. That much we know. So we're talking about now the Seahawks game. We're talking about home against the Colts. And I believe, if I am not mistaken, that that next game is at the New York Jets. So we can rule him out for those 3 weeks. I will say that they are perilously thin in the secondary, and that was the place where you thought they had as good a depth as anywhere, right? Maybe that was a wrong assumption. Maybe that was something that we just looked at based on the number of bodies that were there and the potential that the talent has and said, yeah, you know what? Okay, they're going to be all right. They may still be all right. They have some guys who have starting experience behind Imani Hooker, but Imani Hooker is turning into one of your most competent and confident defensive players. He's the classic success story of a guy that you draft for a primarily special teams role and depth role on defense, and then he develops into a starter and can play at a, we'll see how high a level, but so far has been, you're comfortable with him, right? You're comfortable with the combination of him and Kevin Byard. So when I look at this, I immediately started to like draw my attention to, all right, who's next on the depth chart, right? The classic fantasy football conversation. Who's up next? Next man up, however you want to say it. And my eye immediately was drawn to Mathias Farley. Now, Mathias Farley, who was signed this year in free agency, he's 29 years old, been a starter in the league for a couple of years, most recently with the Jets, started with the Colts, 15 games at safety with the Colts in 2017. He's not anything terribly special. Now, he was the best part. He was the best source of your offensive momentum, by the way, on Sunday, because he threw a pass to Imani Hooker, speaking of which, that on a fake punt kept the play or tried to keep the momentum going for an offense that desperately needed juice. That's how I knew that the Titans, that was pretty early in the game, That's how I knew that they were getting desperate, because already inside of his own 30, Mike Vrabel was calling trick plays. That's a red flag right out the gate. But it was a good play, and it was a good throw, honestly. Not a ton of zip on it, but there didn't need to be. It's just a quick pop pass. What do they call it? One of those Texas routes? So my eye was immediately attracted to Mathias Farley, and we had seen him do a little bit on defense, but not a ton. But then the more that I talked to people about it, and when I started to look at the snap counts and who came in once they started to pull the starters out of the game against Arizona when it was clear that it was going to be a blowout, I looked at Bradley McDougald. Bradley McDougald, who also has a relative amount of starting experience in the NFL. Again, nothing crazy, nothing that jumps off the page at you. He's an average NFL starting safety, maybe a little below at times. But with Bradley McDougald, what we have seen from him has been good on tape. I think you feel pretty comfortable about the idea of him slotting in. It's the reason he was initially cut, then brought back to the practice squad, then elevated from the practice squad to the active roster. And now I would anticipate him being one of your starters at safety against Seattle. Also, by the way, a former Seahawk himself. So he has familiarity with Russell Wilson, with those skill position players, maybe not necessarily that offense because it's a new offense, but still, he understands principles and tendencies. So he's your best available option right now. And speaking of which, it just so happens that Bradley McDougald will join us tomorrow on the radio show at 11:15. And we'll talk about the opportunity that's in front of him. So you can look forward to that with the Titans starting safety in week two. I think, you know, the questions about the secondary are this. Is that what the Jackrabbit Jenkins experience is going to look like? Because I don't think all of the tape on Jackrabbit was bad. I think DeAndre Hopkins just gave him the work. Like, it was not a fair matchup, and that ended up being the defensive back, the corner, who spent the most time around DeAndre Hopkins. They tried it with a couple different guys. It wasn't successful with about anybody, but there was an active and conscious effort to try and take away as much of DeAndre Hopkins as was humanly possible, and he summarily thwarted that effort. So, Christian Fulton, probably the biggest highlight of any of that on Sunday. Mike Vrabel has talked about that as well. He seems to be comfortable out there. You feel comfortable with him on the outside. I think of all the things that you are watching, I don't know how many of you out there isolated the cornerback play, but to watch Christian Fulton make plays on the ball, probably should have had an interception, but he over-pursued on one route that Kyler threw and just kind of missed the ball by about a half an inch. There were some good breakups in the end zone. There were some good plays on film from Christian Fulton. Elijah Molden did have a missed tackle on a blitz that he had the opportunity to make a play in the backfield. Other than that, I didn't see much that concerned me. He did have a touchdown pass thrown to Christian Kirk over Elijah Molden that he was summarily beat off the line of scrimmage. But there was enough there that you felt comfortable about Molden. Where Caleb Farley factors into all of this, I think, has yet to be seen. He played on field goal block throughout the course of the game, primarily special teams, and then when it was a blowout officially, when they started putting in the depth players, he lined up exclusively, and I don't know how many people noticed this, but Caleb Farley lined up exclusively on the left side of the defense as the outside corner on the left side. I don't know if that's just what they want to focus on with him first, or whether that was done with any other kind of specific intention. I was not surprised to see him not get defensive snaps until it was officially a blowout. And frankly, I'm glad that they used that opportunity to get him some snaps because he needs it. He's not going to get those kind of reps in practice anymore, and the preseason is long behind us. I would not anticipate Caleb Farley participating at safety or really any more on defense than he did on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the hope is that he can get ramped up and he can make contributions, but that time is not yet here. When we come back, we'll talk about Taylor Lewan, because a film clip went viral yesterday that I think needs to be focused on specifically. a film clip of Taylor Lewan getting, for all intents and purposes, dummied by a safety on a blitz. We'll talk about it coming up next. Your input is welcome. Will Compton, his teammate, former and current on Bustin' with the Boys, will join us for his recurring segment at 12:20, and we'll get into it with Will as well. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.